Let me take just a moment to welcome you here this evening. Appreciate your presence. And I know that we have those who are visiting with us. We are honored that you've come our way, and we invite you to come back and be with us when you have an opportunity to do so. As always, I remind you that you have a responsibility to know God's Word, to follow God's Word, and make sure your faith is based on His teaching. To that end, I would encourage you to follow with me, to judge what I say against the standard of the Bible, and always compare what you believe against the Bible. In our lesson this morning, we talked about the idea of setting a good tone for worship. We are here for a purpose. We are here to praise God, to glorify God. We are here to learn ourselves and to grow, and also simply to encourage each other. And so we have a reason for assembling together. And so as we keep in mind the reason we come together like this, we understand that we need to do things that will help to facilitate the end result that we're looking for. We want to accomplish something. We want to make sure that we are able to set a good tone for worshiping God and for growing ourselves. And so this morning we talked about the fact that there are some things that we need to be aware of. We need to be cognizant of. We want to avoid what disrupts. We want to avoid what distracts and diminishes from our purpose. We want to make sure that the things that may come in our way that will keep us from praising God and glorifying God, and the things that will keep us from going, that these are put aside and that we're able to focus on what encourages us. We're able to focus on what builds us up, and it enhances our time together. Time is a valuable commodity. It would be sad for you to waste the 3 hours that we spend together, not to mention the hours before and after, as we visit, the time that it takes to travel. It would be sad for you to waste a block of time each Sunday and one on Wednesday and then perhaps other times if you're not getting something out of it. And so we need to focus on what is good for worship and try to set that tone. The right attitude is critical as we approach these things. We want to have a good heart and a good motive behind these things. I do not want to be the one who distracts or draws someone's attention away from worship. I want to make sure that my mind is engaged and that the things that I do help others to engage. We find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, the Apostle Paul speaking to the brethren at Corinth because they had taken the Lord's Supper and they had basically made it of none effect. It simply was not doing them any good. And Paul chastised them. He reminded them of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. And he says in verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so clearly, Paul wants an engaged mind when it comes to worshiping God. Make sure that you examine yourself. Make sure that you think about what you are doing as you worship God. There are many kinds of things that can distract. There are many kinds of things that can cause us to lose focus. And we mentioned these this morning. Very quickly, we talked about some clothing that can distract. Those that have advertisements or those that have words or those kinds of things. We talked about whispering and talking. We talked about playing games, writing notes. Those who are obviously disinterested. We talked about noise and rudeness. All of these can distract from our purpose of being here. And we want to focus on what is right. We want to focus on what helps us to worship God. Tonight, I want to take this same idea and apply it to the leadership role. Because this morning we talked about just membership in general and what we do for each other. But we understand that when we come in this capacity, that there are people who stand up and they lead in some capacity. Josh picked out two songs. I did not know ahead of time what songs he picked out. He didn't ask me if these were okay. He just simply picked them out because he is designated tonight the song leader. Someone designated him the song leader tonight. Someone chose the men who would lead prayers, the men who would wait on the Lord's table after a while. And so we understand that there are leadership roles that have to be played within the assembly and within the congregation. And in the leadership role, one has a great deal of influence about the tone of the worship. Let me ask you something. Is it possible for leaders of a worship like this to distract, to do things that will cause others not to get the very most? Again, we might talk about clothing. If I'm standing up here and I have a billboard on my shirt, and you're trying to find out and figure out what it says because some of the print is small, then you're probably not focused on the things that you need to be focused on. Sometimes there is disinterest. Can you imagine a song leader or someone who leads a prayer gets up and in their tone, in their voice, you can just tell they're not really into what they're saying. Can you imagine a class teacher who comes and begins to teach and there's just no real enthusiasm, no real emotion? Again, I don't think we should be overly emotional necessarily, but there has to be a heart feeling involved in these kinds of things. What about rudeness? In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul is very forthright in his teaching. And he says some pretty difficult things to listen to or to hear or to read. In fact, he begins very early on how he marveled that they had so soon removed themselves from the grace of Jesus Christ to another gospel. And from that point on, he really talks about their shortcomings and how they were in danger of losing their soul. In chapter 4, verse 16, Paul poses a question after dealing with some difficult things, realizing that they might have their feelings hurt a little bit, I guess. He says, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Now, we don't want rudeness. And we don't want those who look down on us. We don't want people to belittle us. We don't want people to dismiss us. We don't want people to be rude to us. We want them to give us a degree of respect, even if there is disagreement among us. We want them to look at us as having some degree of intelligence, of being able to reason together. You remember this morning as I introduced the topic, we mentioned and looked a moment at reasoning, that we reason together. And I said this morning that that is exactly what I would do this morning, and in fact, I'm doing that as well tonight. I'm trying to reason with you. And so we want people to think that we have the intelligence to be able to reason. We don't want people to be rude to us, do we? What about unpreparedness? What if Josh this evening had gotten up and he really hadn't prepared and he said, "Well, let's see what we're gonna sing tonight. Let me find something that looks, you know, kind of good." And you know, 30 seconds passes in a minute, and then 2 minutes, and would we say that Josh was ready? Would that encourage us to really focus our attention, our minds on the things that are taking place? We need to be ready. If we go to a Bible class, and maybe a topic has been announced, maybe we're studying from a particular passage, and we know that, and we go to Bible class, and we have prepared as students. But we get there, and the teacher is confused, and the teacher really has knowledge of what he's trying to get across. He's not able to back things up with other scripture. And so there's just this unpreparedness. And we're able to see that. What about a preacher who comes and just is not ready to present the material? You see, we need to make sure that we are prepared. In fact, the passage read a moment ago by Keith, Paul tells Timothy, you be prepared, you be ready. You do the things that you need to do that you might be able to teach others. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, meditate on these things. These things are the written words that Paul had penned for Timothy. He's telling Timothy, you meditate on what I've written to you, what I've said to you. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And so, Timothy, you need to be prepared. By all accounts, Timothy had some miraculous powers. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Every indication is the Apostle Paul gave him certain powers by the laying on of his hands. But even this man who had some miraculous power was told to meditate, to give yourself to these things, to apply yourself to these things. You know, it is an awesome responsibility to try and teach. And if we're not ready to do that, then what value are the words that we are speaking? If the words make no sense, if the words are not coherent, if they don't match what the information is, the text is, then what value is there to those words? We need to be prepared. And so those who lead, whether it's on the Lord's table, whether it's leading a prayer, leading singing, teaching a class, preaching, there needs to be a degree of preparedness, of readiness, if we're going to do what God wants us to do. Let's look a little bit more at the preacher and the teacher and see what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are to teach one another, even in the song service. And so we recognize that a preacher, a teacher, is someone who teaches others, as well as, yes, the song leader, and as well as, yes, the one who leads prayer. In all of these, we are in a teaching mode, an instructing mode. These songs have words. What a sad thing it is if we spend all of our time and energy trying to learn the music and trying to learn how to pitch everything just right in the right tempo, and yet we forget about the words. There's nothing wrong with being able to lead or to sing the different parts that are found in the songs. There's nothing wrong with being able to pitch it just right, having the right tempo. There's nothing wrong with any of that, but the thing that is important about singing is singing. The words. It's not the melody. It's the words. And so remember, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing. And so not only do we find instruction, but we find encouragement. We find a moment to be built up, to be strengthened by the song service. And that's what a song leader does. our song leaders do a pretty good job of picking out songs and making sure that they have some kind of a theme. Sometimes they will call me and ask me, Terry, what are you preaching on Sunday? And they will design a song service that complements the subject. But even if they don't do that, very often they will have some kind of theme. In fact, the second song that Josh sang tonight, he says, in keeping with the theme. And that's good because, again, it recognizes the value of teaching. If you have a good song leader, and I don't necessarily mean someone who always gets it pitched right, but if you have a good song leader who's able to put the message together, what a great blessing that is. Someone who leads a prayer. You know, the Bible's pretty clear about the reason and the value of prayer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, this is actually talking about prayer and singing. Paul says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Jesus is not interested in how eloquent we can be in our prayers. He doesn't care how many big words we use. He doesn't care how long the prayer is necessarily. Jesus is not impressed by our use of language. Jesus is impressed when we express our heart, when we express our needs, when we express our thanksgiving. Someone who is leading a prayer is speaking on behalf of each and every member. At the conclusion of the prayer, when we say amen, do we mean it? Do we really put our stamp of approval, if you will, on what was said? We understand that the one who leads a prayer has tremendous power. I've been in situations where maybe there was a member who thought that prayer time was his time to really shine and would take not just a minute or two, but would take several minutes. And again, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. We certainly know that Jesus prayed for extended periods of time, but usually that was when he was by himself. But we have to be careful in understanding what is the value, the reason for someone leading a prayer. It is to focus our mind and our attention on the needs that we have here. We sometimes mention those who are sick, those who are traveling. We might mention the upcoming meeting and those kinds of things. And what about those who wait on the Lord's table? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23 through verse 26, again, Jesus rehearsed with the people there, Paul rehearsed with the people there what Jesus had instituted back on that day. He said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I am not one who tries to elevate one point or one action over another. All of the different parts of worship are equally important and needed and beneficial. But think about what we're doing with the Lord's Supper. We are remembering what Jesus Christ did for us. We are remembering his death, the awful suffering that he endured. And those who wait on the Lord's table can focus our attention and our minds toward that very point. And they usually do. Quite often, a passage will be read to focus our mind, or a few comments made, and then a passage read. But if we're not ready to do those things, what a distraction all of this can be. A preacher, a teacher, a song leader, someone who leads prayer, someone who waits on the Lord's table. What a distraction all of this can become if we're not focused on the things that we need to do. We need to make sure that the tone is set by the things that we do. And in a leadership role, we have to take our responsibility seriously. So often people are hesitant to step into those kinds of roles. We are blessed here that we have many, many men who are willing to do that. And I'm thankful to God for that. But let us not forget how important it is to lead as God would have us to lead. There is an extra burden of responsibility. There is an extra burden of judgment if we're not careful. I do not want to become the distraction or draw someone's attention away from worship. And so I would ask you to remember this as we close our lesson. When you come to worship, whether you have a part in the service that day or that night or not, when you come to worship, first of all, in preparation to come, make sure that you do the things you need to do to kind of set the table, if you will. To set the tone for yourself, maybe for your family, before you ever get here. And then once you get here, make sure that your actions, your conduct is such that you enhance the chance of everyone benefiting from the service together. How sad it is if we come here and we don't get anything out of it. How sad it is if we come here and we are bored to a point where our mind is wandering elsewhere. And so, whether we are sitting and listening, whether we are listening to the prayer and ready to say amen, whether we are singing with the song leader who's leading us, whether we are partaking of the Lord's Supper or we are doing something in a leadership role, let's make sure that we, in our conduct, in our actions, do things that will give us the best chance to benefit and the best chance to do what God wants us to do in worship, to glorify His name, to learn about Him, to encourage and strengthen one another. I hope and pray that today you have been benefited by all of the things that have taken place, that you have been benefited by the Bible class time, that you have been benefited by the offering of the Lord's Supper, by the prayers, that you have been benefited by the time that we've had together to study. Because I'm pretty sure that those who have had a part in leading all of this have had that in mind, that we get something out of it. What am I doing personally to help set the table? What am I doing personally to help set the mood, to make sure that these things get done? That's what I want us to think about and focus on. We talked about a lot of things this morning that we could incorporate into tonight, but we just didn't have time to go back over all of them. So if you're not a Christian, my hope and my prayer for you is that you will respond, that you will do the things you need to do to obey God, to become a child of God.